The Song of Epiphany sounds something like this. Do you know it now? This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Remember the second one? Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. And then today, hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. These lyrics dare us to live daringly and loudly proclaiming the light of Christ. It's an echo. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Epiphany, in many ways, is an anniversary. We're reminded of what was true in the past to tell us what is still true today. Christ shines in the darkness. The darkness has not, the darkness will not overcome His light. We know from the past this is true because we can remember when God began to call us. It was in the middle of the land of deep darkness that we were lost. And out of nowhere, a glimmer of light began to shine. We weren't sure if God was talking to us, or it was something that we ate the night before, or our eyes were playing tricks on us. But lo and behold, it was Him. And the longer that we look for this light, and the longer that we seek after this light, and the more we walk in the light, and the closer to the light we grow, the light gets brighter and brighter. It rises slowly at first in our life, much like the rising of the sun in the morning, but it never stops until it reaches its peak, until the heat of the noonday sun, the light of Christ, is shining on us. What a holy moment it is. And then, in the middle of the brightness of the light, we begin to hear the sound of light, calling us by name to run out of the darkness and into His light. And when we do, the light does more than shine on us, but now the dirty work begins. Because the light starts to shine down in us, and it starts introspecting the sinkholes of our life, those things we want no one to know, and the light just seems to sit down and make those darkest places, those weakest moments, the things we are the least proud of, the lighthouses of hope for the world. You see, the light of Christ, it is a way of life. It is a way to live and be in the world that is different from the world in order that we would engage in service with the world. We are a full service center of light in the world. His light, mind you, but we are the service center. That means there is no damage that our light, His light, cannot repair. That means that there is no out-of-line track that our light, His light, cannot realign. There's nothing too dirty that our light, His light, cannot change. There is nothing too destroyed that our light, which is His light, cannot be rebuilt. There is no problem that our light, His light, cannot solve. Oh, you'll get it in a minute. There is no diagnosis that our light cannot reverse. There is no dents and dings, scrapes and scratches, rust and wrecks that His light cannot fix and make new again. if this is who we are, if this is who we really, truly are, why is our light so hidden by bushels of darkness? Why is it that people searching for light cannot seem to find us, His servants of light? Why is it that people can drive right past our lives every single day, year after year, and never notice who we are or what we are, servants of light? Why is our light so hidden from the everyday traffic of our lives? And instead, it's just located on the back corner where it receives so little attention. Why is our light so indistinguishable that we rely on the landmarks next to us to help others locate where our light is? Why is our light so hidden? Because the land of deep darkness exists. It is real. It is troubling. The land of deep darkness is all-consuming. It surrounds us on every side. It invades our territory. It entangles itself with us. And then it squeezes with all of its might until it suffocates the light right out of us. You see, as service centers of our light, our service happens in the war zone of darkness. Darkness attacks what we value the most. You want to know what you value? Look at what we struggle with, because that's where darkness attacks. And it threatens to walk off with it in tow, never to bring it back. It's a war zone. Darkness forces us then to take our attention off of being servants of light, and instead we start to be defenders of light. Defending what we value, protecting it so that it can't take it from us. Our light becomes hidden. Darkness comes sweeping in like mighty floodwaters and sweeping away life as we know it. It fills every low point to sink us into our sorrow. It runs over every weak place of hurt and hang up and suffering and shame, drowning us in darkness. It pushes. It presses. It pulls against the firmest, most constant thing in our life until it too falls into the pit of darkness. The land of darkness then will force us to change our course. We used to be servants who threw out our life jackets for other people who are drowning in the floodwaters, but now we hold on to them. For our own self-preservation, our light becomes hidden. The land of deep darkness, which hides our light, it lurks like a maze in the distance. It entices us to come in, to follow its ways, and to stay a while. We enter it like it's a mystery. At first, it looks like it's going to be fun and full of adventure, like a maze. It's fun, all right, until you realize every path you go down is a dead end. And you realize you don't know the way out of this deep land of darkness. We will roam around, wondering, in fear, starving for light, starving for direction, starving for answers and for a breakthrough. But in the land of darkness, it never comes. Light never dawns. It's full of gloom and distress. We come under its yoke, never to resurface. We're pressed down by its bar that beats against our backs. We are oppressed with its rod until we have no other choice but to give in and to give up. Our light becomes hidden. Nevertheless, says Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 1, he says, nevertheless. Nevertheless, says Isaiah. Nevertheless, says Isaiah. Nevertheless. Oh, some translations are a little better. But. I love the Bible buts. but God. Nevertheless, the people walking in darkness, they have seen a great light. On those living in the land of darkness, a deep light has dawned. Prophet Isaiah is doing his best Paul Harvey impression. Darkness may be part of the story, but light is the rest of the story. I may be young, but I know part of Paul Harvey. The land of darkness is real and promising, but it never delivers on its promises. Nevertheless, there is a land of promise and it is full of the light of Christ. Nevertheless, there is an option in the land of deep darkness. It is the option of light. Nevertheless, there is another way. It is the way of light. Nevertheless, there is a plan C when all we can see are the failures of plans A and B. It is the plan of light. It is the single light of Christ shining in the darkness. You see, Matthew chapter 4 is the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 9. It's not that the light of Christ will one day shine. It's that the light of Christ is shining. Oh, let me say it different. Nevertheless is not a future day. Nevertheless is a today. The but God is not tomorrow. The but God is for today. Someone asked this week how many services we have at our church. The answer we gave was one, and I thought later, no, the truth is we have two services. One service is at 10, one service is at 2. One is located inside our walls, the other is located outside our walls, right over there, the Oaks Assisted Living. I want you to know I love you all, but you're not my favorite service of the day. I've been sharing this series on light. One of the residents, her name is Jean Short, shared with us an experience of her light in the darkness. Her and her husband were traveling through the flat part of Kansas. Now, Nancy would tell us that not all of Kansas is flat, right, Nancy? She grew up in the hilly terrains of Kansas. So you can ask her about that story. But this was the flat part of Kansas. And they were driving at night, and on this particular occasion, it was nothing but a sheet of darkness all around them. If they looked in the rearview mirror, what do you think they saw? Darkness. If they looked to the passenger side or the driver's side mirror, what did they see? And if they looked straight ahead, what did they see? More darkness. It just surrounded them. You know, it's easy when we're traveling in darkness for doubt to start to creep in. Because when darkness is on it, surrounds us on every side, we lose our bearings. And we start to think, I ought to be seeing some light by now. And we think, well, maybe we're going in the wrong direction. But we don't know which direction we're going in because it's nothing but darkness. And so we desire to turn back, we desire to give up. Kicks in like a shot of caffeine, awaking us to take a different action rather than to stay the faithful course of light. Darkness can cause us in these moments to wander off the path. And if you get off the beaten path in darkness, darkness swallows us and tries to keep us from ever finding it again. But she recalls, as they were driving, one second it was all darkness, and the next second, one single light dawn just above the horizon. It was a nevertheless moment. The moment before it wasn't there, but the next moment it was. We may be traveling through the land of deep darkness, nevertheless, the single light of Christ has dawned. We may have given in to the darkness and started to believe that we are the lost cause. Nevertheless, the light of Christ has dawned. Our doubts may have gotten the best of us, caused us to go off course. Nevertheless, the light of Christ has dawned. There are others too, many of whom we love, who are traveling in this land of darkness. And if we were honest, we're about ready to give up that they'll ever find the way. Nevertheless, the light of Christ has dawned. The question for us this morning is not where is the light in the darkness, but here's the question. Will we be the single light of light in the darkness? The question for us as witnesses as light is not, do we fear the damnation of darkness? But the better question is, do we fear the damnation of hiding our light? Nevertheless, the light of Christ has dawned. Will we be the single light of Christ shining in the darkness? Isaiah moves down to verse 4 and he says, "For as in the day of Midian's defeat, as in the day when Gideon was a single light shining in the land of deep darkness, so it should be for us." This land that Gideon was in was possessed by the doers of darkness, and they were oppressing the children of light. Their names were the Midianites. They had tailgate parties at the edge of the cornfields. They waited for the corn to sprout up so that they could just ransack it. They didn't need the crops, they just wanted to devastate the children of light. They had butchers on standby for as soon as a newborn calf was weaned off its mother, the butcher would enter in. And they did this not 1 year, not 2 years, not three, not four, not five, not six, not, oh, seven. For 7 years, they waited. And darkness had its way. You know, in the Bible, dark seven is the number of completion. It's as if God waited for 7 years so that He could send a single servant of light to declare, darkness has done all that it can do. It can't have its way anymore. And you would think that God, if He had His wits about Him, would call many servants to the light, but He called only one. His name is Gideon. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, Lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all of this darkness happened to us?" Tell you the truth, God didn't give a real good answer. He just says, "Go in the strength you have." You didn't answer the question, God. Go in the strength that you have. Go to save Israel. Wait, one man to save many. Go and deliver them out of the many hands. One man to deliver from many. Am I not sending you one person to be the servant of light? Well, one servant of light, one single light shining in the distance caused others to follow and walk in the light. It started off as 22,000 and God said, too many. He said, get rid of some. Got down to 10,000. God said, too many, get rid of some. It got down to 3,000. God said, still too many, get rid of some. Got down to 100. God said, good enough. 100 versus hundreds of thousands. Sounds like an impossible situation. But one servant of light has the power to destroy darkness once and for all. It's as if when Jesus Christ came and declared, "I am the light of the world," He got up on Sunday after His own death to declare, "It's the seventh day. Darkness has done all that it can do, and the light has dawned, and the light is present, and the light will win. The light will break the rod of the oppressor. The light will destroy the yoke that burdens us. The light will end violence. The light will end suffering. The light will heal. There is a single light of Christ, and He wants to live in us. It's not just what the light of Christ will do, it's what we will do with His light. Isaiah tells us that we will rejoice. We'll rejoice like farmers who've gotten the best harvest they've ever had. They party. They celebrate because the light has come. It's like warriors who have won the war. They know darkness has been defeated and they pick up the plunder and they rejoice and celebrate because what the light has done, we will do everything in response to the light. But if there's one little fracture I could add to the word, it would be this. The light will. We will. The question is, will they? Will the people living in the land of deep darkness, will they rejoice because our light, the light of Christ, is shining to them? Will their yoke be broken because we've let Christ break ours? And our service to the world is now to go break the yokes that burden them. It's to end the oppression that brings darkness into their life. That's the call. The power of a single light. So come to me, all who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now you know the rest of the story.